This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Welcome back to the 5 o'clock hour of Sports Talk. Mike Haas along with Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak. I'm filling in for Steve Geller tonight. I think Steve's watching a little high school football. His son plays at Rummel. They're playing at St. Paul's. A ton of jamborees tonight all over the place. The Saints, when we say they're off this weekend, they're off. They're physically away from the training camp, and then pretty much next week, normal week. Monday will be in. Tuesday's an off day, just like it would be. Then, you know, it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, into Arizona on Sunday, noon, and then San Francisco the following Sunday.
Yeah, there's two NFL rule changes over the past several years, dating back to like 2021, that I think are some of the best decisions they've made in a long time. One was allowing games to end in ties in the preseason.
Oh, I did not know. That was not where I thought you were going.
Well, that was one. And okay. The other was eliminating the fourth preseason game and giving everyone kind of a reset week. Because I think the players appreciate it. I think the coaches appreciate it. I appreciate it. Maybe the fans don't. Maybe the fans wanted a fourth preseason game. I think they'd just rather just get to the regular season. But that, because that fourth preseason game is rough. But I do appreciate that Kellen Moore did not drag his quarterback decision over this weekend, because I was starting to wonder. I figured Wednesday, when the week started, then suddenly we got it on Tuesday. It didn't seem like that was the initial plan, considering he wasn't originally even scheduled to speak on Tuesday. But he did name Spencer Rattler the quarterback. We talked about it a lot, but you know, it's bears repeating. Spencer Rattler is the starting quarterback for the Saints. I don't think it's a, hey, he's here, let's just go with it. I think he earned it. Right? Like, I think he came in consistent from the start and he stayed consistent. Like, he made good decisions. He operated the offense. The rookie quarterback, Tyler Shuck, came in a little slow. I think he started slow. He picked it up. He progressed really well. But I think that from the start, you had a guy that looked like the starter. And at the end, you got a guy that looked like the starter. And it's kind of going to be a question throughout the season. Now, Kellen Moore did say, hey, we're not going to be having this quarterback conversation.
Don't look over your shoulder.
Every week. And here, let's just hear what he said. Charlie, can you hit that?
Yeah, guys, I think that's the important thing, guys. We're not getting in this QB debate throughout the season. Spencer's our starting quarterback. Tyler's going to keep developing. You know, quarterbacks, you need a couple quarterbacks in seasons. These are long NFL seasons. And so, you know, I think we do value that we have depth there, and we'll have to navigate the rest of it as we go. But, yes, we're really excited about Spence. He's going to do an awesome job for us.
Yeah, so what's your, you know, read on that? Like, I guess that in the sense of, hey, we're not picking like, oh, week six, that's when Tyler goes in. Like, that's not what they're going to be doing. They're not going to feed into the drama if Spencer throws a couple interceptions in one game. But there will be a point this season where it's like, yes, that's going to be a conversation. Kellen's going to have to answer questions. You can't avoid it.
Right. That's always the situation. I mean, when you're just your draft pick, I mean, look, Cleveland's going to face it, right? I mean, with Flacco, yeah. I mean, Cleveland's going to face it. It just, and theirs feels almost like planned. All right, Joe, we're going to play five, six games. I mean, here's what we're going to do, you know, and whether we go to Shador or not, probably not. But it does put pressure on Spencer. I don't care if you say you're not looking over your shoulder. You don't want to go out and give up the picks. Do the things that might cost you the position. I feel like 100%. He did everything in OTAs all the way through training camp to better lead this offense, to better handle the blitz, to better handle the speed of the game. I think that Tyler Shuck throws a better ball, right? I think there's some things that he does better, but it's not an easy beginning for this football team. You know, Arizona and San Francisco are not two teams that were sub 500. They were, but to me, they're way better than that. And it's at Seattle and at Buffalo.
Yeah, and I think for Spencer, you know, one thing you can look at last year, and I know a lot of people want to throw 0-6 and say, oh, we know who he is, he's 0-6, blah, blah, blah. I think that's a disingenuous argument to make. It's an intellectually dishonest argument to make. If your argument is he went 0-6, thus he does not deserve an opportunity again, despite feeling like he's been ahead this whole way. Right now, what you can do is look at what happened last year and say he didn't do this well enough. He didn't do this well enough. You know, he looked a little overwhelmed at times. He needs to improve here, 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 and here. And that's all fair game. The analysis is all fair game. But you can't look at that and say it was anything but an incomplete based on you saw. If you watched those games, you saw what he was dealing with and the players he was playing with and the offensive line he was working with and the playmakers, right? Like you can't.
Connor McGovern?
Right. You could look at every position the team other than maybe tight end. And honestly, yes, tight end, because you lost Taysom Hill at a point during that season, week 14. And so, like, you could look at every position on that team and say, like, wow, this was rough. Like, this is not what you went into the season intending to have. And so what I'll say for that is that's not going to be the case this year. I get it. It's going to be a tough first 4 weeks. But you're going to get an answer. You're going to get a definitive answer on what he has to offer that you were not able to get last year. So that excuse will no longer be there. I think that excuse doesn't need to be there right now because everyone who watched that can understand what they saw. But by week four of this season, we're going to have a clear definition of what Spencer Rattler has to offer as a starting quarterback.
I agree. And I feel differently now than I might have felt at the beginning of camp, meaning we talked so much about like the running back situation and Kendra and who's going to be the number two and Alvin wasn't playing. And then they end up with – they go get Trey Palmer – and Devon Vele. And you're like, because quite frankly, to me, Spencer was at his best two times. Second half, Washington. First half, Tampa on the road. Not the first time, the second time. Just move the ball steadily down the field. Now, he's still into tight ends, but big guys, just 5-6 yards. Take what they give you. Be smart. Man, it was you know, an awesome first half against Tampa that they could not duplicate. And he didn't play great in that Washington second half. Cedric Wilson had a time, but he played solid.
And he played well enough for you to go win a game if the people around him perform. And that's the thing. You never had a situation where the people around him could perform. I actually think if you go back and you watch that Raiders game, the defense is what let you down in that Raiders game. And then you had drops.
Abdullah with what? 200 and some?
Right. I actually thought if you wanted to look at and say what was Spencer Rattler's most complete game as a starter last year, it was the Raiders game. And it was not on him. It was drops. It was a penalty when he had the long pass to Juwan Johnson down at the goal line. Like there were his teammates were not picking him up. In the same way that I felt like, you know, Spencer's teammates actually helped him this preseason in a way that Tyler's teammates didn't. Like, I thought Tyler was let down by the drops, and that really hurt his chances to actually find a definitive moment to win that job. And so that's the thing. Spencer, you know, like, say what you want. Whether you believe that Kellen Moore's, we're not going to play this game. It's like, it doesn't matter. Go out there and play like a quarterback who deserves to get more games, and you'll keep starting until the answer is, it's not worth it anymore.
It's your job until it's not your job. Take a break, and we'll start talking about LSU and Clemson. Zach Nagy, publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated. He will join us next here on Sports Talk. Mike Hoss, Jeff Nowak, and Charlie Long. Back after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. Mike Haas sitting in for Steve Geller this evening, and Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter Charlie Long in the booth. And we're talking LSU and Clemson tomorrow at 6:30. It's the Battle of the Tigers and the Battle of Death Valley. Zach Nagy, publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated, joins us. Zach, welcome to the show.
Hey, man. How's it going?
We are good, man. Jeff and I are ready for some college football. Big weekend. Tulane at 11, LSU tomorrow. If you look at their schedule, I mean, they get at Alabama, you know, the ranked teams now, you know, 8, South Carolina, Florida, A&M, Ole Miss, and then to start off at Clemson, number 4, trying to end a 5-game season opening losing streak. That's not the place I would pick.
Yeah, no, you're right on the money. When you look at this schedule, it's certainly daunting. Once you get to the middle of it in that SEC play, that cream of the crop portion. But you start things off, top 5 opponent, obviously Clemson this weekend, Kate Klubnik, Dabo Sweeney, et cetera. It set the stage for a primetime slate. Excited for it, man. Excited for it.
Yeah, you know, Cade Klubnik, Garrett Nussmeier, like, I'm curious, how do you view that matchup? Who do you think has the quarterback edge? Because it's going to be kind of fascinating to watch Nuss and how his draft stock even kind of fluctuates throughout the season. Because, I mean, like, this time a couple years ago, no one was really talking about Jaden Daniels as a Heisman candidate, as a top 3 draft pick, but that's what he ended up being. I feel like Nuss is kind of on everyone's radar in a way that Jaden never was. And I don't know, does that add more pressure? Is it, you know, he can go talk to his dad down the street, coaching the Saints, I guess down I-10, I should say. Like, where do you kind of view that quarterback matchup?
Yeah, I think when you look at it, it's really two Heisman hopefuls. These are two guys that when you look at those preseason Heisman kind of betting odds, they're at the forefront of the conversation, specifically Nussmeier. This is a guy who has all of the tools to be a top 5, top 10 draft pick if he pieces everything together. He has all the weapons. He obviously has the experience now with 1 year under his belt. This is a player that has all the intangibles to be a true threat in 2025, and same goes for Cade Klubnik. This is a player who's a little bit more dynamic than Garrett. Obviously, he had over almost 500 rushing yards last year. That kind of escapability is what makes him such a lethal threat with the ball in his hands. So the two guys are extremely talented. Garrett has that touch. He has the arm strength, can put the ball wherever he wants. That's what Cade Klubnik is still advancing in. But on the other side, Klubnik has the ability to really extend the play. And that's what we haven't seen from Garrett Nussmeier quite yet. So you can compare and contrast both of them pretty tediously. But at the end of the day, these are two extremely talented quarterbacks that are obviously whoever plays the best, that's the one that's going to get the win. These two quarterbacks are sensational. It's going to come down to who plays better this weekend.
Unfortunately for me, the image I have stuck in my head from LSU last year is Jalen Milroe and the 4 touchdowns, 185 yards in Tiger Stadium. So they go out, you know, working to rebuild the LSU defense, Blake Baker, huge transfer portal class, not surprisingly. But can they stop the quarterback run? Can they stop the run in general? I mean, you know, because if you can't do that, man, nothing else matters a whole lot.
Yeah, I think you're right on the money. And you can talk about, of course, you can talk about Jalen Milroe, Marcel Reed, Lenoris Sellers. You go down that entire schedule, and LSU struggled with mobile quarterbacks. Those guys that can kind of extend the play and do it all with their legs. LSU struggled in the biggest way last year. And from a personnel perspective, they wanted to be aggressive but didn't have the personnel to be aggressive. Fast forward to the transfer portal, and you go out and get guys like Jack Pyburn from Florida, Patrick Payton from Florida State, Bernard Gooden from South Florida. You got guys that can now get in the backfield, slow down the run, and keep tabs on these mobile running back or these mobile quarterbacks. So for me, they went out and upgraded from a personnel perspective. Blake Baker has showcased the ability to be aggressive. Now it's about utilizing the players that he has on this roster to do just that. Cade Klubnik's a guy that can really escape, get out the pocket. It's about keeping him in check. You have a healthy Harold Perkins in your back pocket now. And I don't think enough people are really talking about what he provides this defense. I know that when you look at the numbers, they haven't been as flashy as they were that true freshman campaign. But he's bounced back from this torn ACL, has looked the part during camp, looks like a complete player. You have him spying Cade Klubnik to keep him in check. I think it puts your defense in a really good spot to be effective.
No, I agree with you. I think people are sleeping on Harold Perkins. Like, just I think he kind of fell off the radar with the injury, but it's like this is a guy we were talking about as a top five pick a couple of years ago. Like, he was legit getting that hype, and I think he's going to remind people this year why that is. But my question, you know, it's kind of a broader question. Obviously, it's not the end of the world if LSU doesn't win tomorrow with the expanded college football playoff. You can go 0-1 and easily still make it in. It's not even a conference game. But it does kind of feel indicative that 0-3 record in opening games, and they're not exactly taking the easy way out by scheduling a cupcake game, which they definitely could if they just wanted to end that skid. But, you know, as far as Brian Kelly is concerned, what is your frustration level in terms of – or what do you kind of view the frustration level as in terms of – you know, with that expanded playoff, LSU fans are going to expect to be in that every year. And you can only go so far not getting into the dance before, you know, people are going to be calling for heads, right? Like, that's kind of the give and take of that expanded format. When it was only four, you can be like, oh, we had a great season, we didn't get in there, maybe next year. It's like with 12, it's like if you're LSU and you're not in there, every season is a failure. So I guess how long does that get to run out? Is this kind of a do-or-die season, or do you let this thing keep running and let him build the program? Because, you know, it's easy to lose perspective on that. It's only been 3 years. You know, you do have to give a guy time to build, but Tigers fans aren't exactly patient in that regard. So where do you see that?
Yeah, man, I think when you look at it, LSU hasn't won a season opening game since 2019. It's been 5 years. They haven't gotten over the hump in that regard. Three of them under Brian Kelly's watch. And now you enter the 2025 season with an $18 million roster, right? You go out, you attack the transfer portal, you bring in a ton of defensive weapons, like you just alluded to a second ago, to really up the personnel for this team. You bring back Garrett Nussmeier, a ton of receiving threats, and you even go out and add a couple as well through the portal to really boost that spot as well. So for me, when I look at LSU this season, it's definitely a college football playoff or bust season. You got to get over that hump. That's the expectation in Baton Rouge. When you have the talent level that you have, you bring back Blake Baker, Joe Sloan at the coordinator spots on the staff. You upgrade a lot of off-field positions to really get this thing going from a front office perspective. You're aligned. And that's the word that Brian Kelly's talked about since the first day he stepped on campus at LSU, is making sure that the alignment is correct in order to get this thing steered in the right direction. They've done that so far. From a roster construction perspective, it looks the part. Your off-field staff, your on-field staff, everything looks the part. Now you got to go and make it happen. And it starts with week one at Clemson in order to try to get over that first hump of winning a week one game and then see where it takes you. Try to continue to coast and really make it happen come SEC play. But, man, it's a college football playoff or bust season for me, that's for sure.
And they wasted no time, the Tigers, last year, as soon as the season ended. I remember Deuce and I were still doing Saints Friday shows, and they had picked up Nick Anderson, Barry and Brown. I mean, they knew what they needed from a wide receiver standpoint, and they went hard early in that room.
Yeah, I think it's an understatement, man. They went nuclear in that spot. You know, you go out and get Barry and Brown, a true speedster from Kentucky, a guy who's a really solid special teams threat as well. A really nice specialist in the return game. So that gives you a boost in that area too, just utilizing his versatility. But then you pair Nick Anderson in that wide receiver room too. It's a 6'4", 215, 220 pounder who can really go up and get the ball at the second floor. A player who was sensational with Oklahoma in his true freshman campaign. Battled the injury bug last year, of course, but he's looking fully healthy now. This is a guy that they're excited to get back out on the field. So You pair those two newcomers, you bring in Destin Hill as well, who's a guy that you can utilize as a project to try to see what he can be in the future. Those are three fresh faces in a wide receiver room that brings back Aaron Anderson, your leading receiver from last year. Of course, you bring back Kyle Parker, Chris Hilton, Xavion Thomas. I mean, you can go on and on, man. This wide receiver room is lethal. Garrett Nussmeier has an embarrassment of riches to utilize this season. It's going to be fun to watch them spread that ball around because you certainly got the talent there. It's about Garrett Nussmeier making the proper reads, upping that decision-making, which is obviously his kryptonite from last year. Got to make sure that he's on par with his decision-making. He's got the receivers to do it, and it makes it really exciting to see how that offense pans out.
Yeah, you just mentioned a lot of the names there. It seems like every great LSU offense, you see someone kind of ascend into that kind of superstar category. We saw it in 2019, you had multiple guys. You had Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but even like Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas, a couple years back. Like, who on this LSU team do you see as having the potential to be, by the end of the season, a guy we talk about for some of these end-of-year awards, you know, maybe can push themselves into a high draft pick category? Like, whether it's a wide receiver, running back, who are you kind of looking at to take that leap this year?
Yeah, I'm looking at Aaron Anderson to once again take that next step. Obviously, last year he really burst on the scene and looked the part. He's your leading receiver, obviously, so it's not that bold of a take per se. But he's a player that this LSU staff trusts tremendously. He has rapport with Garrett Nussmeier. I really expect Aaron Anderson to play a pivotal role in what this offense does. But Barrion Brown, man, I have been just taken aback by what he can do with the football in his hands. And I think you're going to see a lot of that this week at Clemson. You want to get the ball out in space quick, utilize screen plays so that Barrion Brown can just turn it upfield. So I think Barrion Brown's a guy that can really ascend in 2025 with Garrett Nussmeier throwing him the ball. He's had some really good seasons while he was at Kentucky prior to making his way to Baton Rouge. But, man, he didn't have a quarterback of Garrett Nussmeier's caliber throwing him the football. So now you utilize Garrett Nussmeier to his advantage. I really think Barrion Brown can be a guy that takes the top off the defense, a true vertical threat. I wouldn't be surprised to see him also ascend and take that next step and start to see his name cruise up draft boards as well.
So tomorrow, Texas and Ohio State are playing, but for just even a casual fan, you could have, you know, from Clemson alone, three players taken in the top 10 of the draft. Klubnik, their defensive tackle, Peter Woods, T.J. Parker, the defensive end, and then you throw Nussmeier in there somewhere. I mean, his draft stock could go sky high. You could have four guys maybe in the top 10 of next year's draft. That's a pretty impressive way to spend a Saturday night.
Yeah, it is, and you're right on the money there. There's a reason why that game between LSU and Clemson is going to have the most NFL scouts and the most NFL personnel in attendance. There's going to be a ton at Ohio State and Texas, don't get me wrong. But when it comes down to numbers, the most NFL personnel is going to be at that Clemson-LSU game. So I think they're right on the same page with you. I think they agree with you. I think those organizations are ready to see what these guys are made of. Obviously, we know what Nussmeier can do, right? Kate Klubnik as well. But then you have guys that are looking to take that next step once again. And, of course, T.J. Parker. Cannot talk about Clemson's front without talking about Purdue transfer Will Health as well. So they've got a ton of guys that are prepared to kind of take that next step this year. NFL personnel is ready to watch it happen. There's a reason why there's going to be so many in attendance this weekend.
Yep, look forward to it. But a lot of pressure on LSU's O-line. They only gave up 15 sacks. Clemson's got a new DC, Tom Allen. See how aggressive he is. It's a great atmosphere. If you like LSU football, you would at least appreciate Clemson because it's a great atmosphere. Should be a good game. It's Zach Nagy at ZNagy20. We appreciate your time.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you, guys. You have a good weekend.
You as well.
Thanks, Zach.
Tomorrow night, 6:30, LSU and Clemson. I've been to the school. Never been to a game there. Have you ever been to a game there?
I have not. Bryant Denny. Is it still Bryant Denny?
Alabama.
Oh, that's Columbia. Jordan-Hare? No, I can't remember.
Jordan-Hare's Auburn.
I can't remember the name, but to save my life. But I have
just
been out there.
Just keep throwing out names.
Columbia. It's one of those two-name fields. I've been there, but I have not been
I will watch the talking text line. It'll pop up here in seconds.
Yeah, you're right.
I can assure you. Take a break. Back after this. Sports Talk, Mike Haas, Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long, here on WWLAMFM.com. Always free on the Odyssey app. And so I'm looking forward to this. This is, you know, it's Katrina pushed forward, right? It's 2006. The Superdome is reopening. It's Atlanta coming to town. Saints are already 2-0. Not everybody remembers that those first two games of the 06 season beat Cleveland, beat Green Bay, both on the road. And so our kind of look back is the pregame kind of chat between the great Jim Henderson and the great Hoki Gaijon before the greatest football game that gives everybody chill. So here's Jim and Hoki before that game.
And good evening once again, everybody, from the Louisiana Superdome. This is Jim Henderson. On October 16th, a year ago, the Saints lost a thrilling game to the Falcons, 34-31, on the game's last play. But it was more than a game the Saints lost that day in San Antonio. It appeared at the time that the city of New Orleans would lose its franchise. San Antonio Mayor Phil Hardberger, who had been a guest of Tom Benson's, had a thrilling game in front of a sold-out Alamo Dome crowd, announced afterward that he would begin negotiations with Benson after the season, and he had been given a great deal of encouragement that a deal could be struck. Among the many emotions I felt that day was sorrow. Sorrow for a Saint fan base that I was convinced was still there. It was a fan base that was displaced by the storm, disappointed by the team's failures, and disaffected from a quarterback it could no longer root for, a coach it no longer believed in, and an owner it could no longer trust. The shame of losing the team because the fans were being blamed for non-support under those conditions would have been so unfair. I believe that if some of those impediments could be changed, most of the fans would come back. Never in my wildest dreams did I imagine that all of those impediments would be changed and all of the fans would be back in numbers greater than ever before. Tom Benson did the right thing in coming back. He did the smart thing in changing coaches and quarterbacks, and he did a lucky thing in being able to draft Reggie Bush. Now he's been rewarded by the rekindling of a love affair with this team that has been fanned by design, by fate, and by good fortune into an inferno of passion. Katrina could not blow it out. Katrina could not drown it. It's back, leading the way for a city, a state, and a region that will be back too. Joined now by Hoki Gaijon. And Hoke, maybe we could get it out of the way at the very beginning. Just kind of have a group cry up here in the broadcast booth, because that's the kind of emotion we felt from the moment we stepped in this place.
There's no doubt, Jim, there's no way you can tell me that you don't have a lump in your throat right now. Anybody that is a New Orleans Saints fan, you know, you got the bands coming out there. You got the fans in the stands. You got look how many people are down on the field right now. I mean, this is... I'm going to tell you, it's a spectacular atmosphere, what we're going through right now. And I tell you what, I just got goosebumps all over me. The state, and you know how hard that is to do.
And how hard it is to look at as well.
Well, but that's your problem.
Yeah, yes, it is. The stage has been set for U2 and Green Day, and when they're ready, we're going to go down and join them. But you see fans here that you haven't seen in a year, greeting each other, tears in their eyes.
Everybody hugging one another. I mean, you see people, I mean, they're coming up right here in front of us and they're waving and they're coming up here and they want to give us a hug and a kiss, and it's just tremendous. Listen to that. Does it get any better?
I can't believe that it can.
But they were wrong. It did get better in the first quarter. Steve Gleason blocked the punt. They couldn't have seen that one coming. I was in the crowd that night. I was a 10 o'clock anchor at WWL-TV, and the game was on ESPN, and they're like, can I have off? And I'm like, go ahead. Your mom won't be watching this at 10 o'clock. They'll be watching, right? So we purchased season tickets that spring. So that is the first game I've ever been to as a fan in the Superdome, ever. That was my first game. That was my intro to Saints football. I was like, oh, this is pretty fun. This is pretty cool.
Remember a few years back, I talked to Morton Anderson about that game, and it's the funniest, one of the funnier subplots of that is like Morton Anderson's at that game with the Falcons.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And I remember he was just like I walked into that building, and he's like, I've never been more confident that my team was not going to win a game. Like, the Saints were never going to lose that game. Like, there's nothing could have happened where the Saints were going to lose that
and
game.
They didn't. It wasn't, first off, the most exciting game. Wasn't a really great game. It was 23-3.
Yeah.
But after the pump block, I was like, I had to go back and look up the score. I was like, what was the score? Right? I had kind of forgotten. Right? The rest of the game was a blur. But
there's a certain point where there's so much energy in a building that you just have no hope of matching it.
Yeah.
And that's
Jim Elmore was the coach for Atlanta. He felt the same way.
Yeah.
Right. He'd been in that building most of his entire, you know, life as a kid growing up. But let me tell you, man, and we haven't talked a lot about Katrina because I think it's been out there enough. But that moment, that night, that blocked punt was a euphorium. Like, to me, it was a release. It was guttural. It was personal. It wasn't even cheering. I mean, it was cheering, but it was just a release. And people were crying and hugging, just like Hokie said. And this was that was before the blocked punt, right?
They replayed. Remember they replayed that game during COVID and like 70,000 homes watched it?
I mean, there's a couple of things. I know we got to take a break. Is that, you know, the first drive, Saints win the toss, kickoff, and the Falcons fumble it on like third down. It almost doesn't go out of bounds, almost gets recovered by the Saints. They almost don't punt. And you think about, well, what would have changed, right? Nothing probably, but life would have been different, right? If they win 23-3, it's a good game.
We might not have a monument outside the dome
from
that game.
For sure. But it's just, you know, things happen for a reason. And I will never forget it. And I will say this as we go to break. I do believe this is it. Katrina, you're done. We've had your 20 years. You're no longer a benchmark for this city. We did the anniversary. We will always go back and remember the heroes, remember those who gave and those who saved lives. But you're not a benchmark for where we are
50,
anymore.
I think 50 is the next.
We're done.
You got to do 50.
We're done.
We can make it till then. You won't have to worry about that, Oz.
That's
come on.
True. That is true. Take a break. We'll be back here on Sports Talk. Mike Haas, Jeff Nowak, and Charlie Long, who was 8. How old were you, Charlie?
7 or 8.
7 or 8 years old. All right. Back after this on Sports Talk. Welcome back, Mike Haas, Jeff Nowak, wrapping up our 5 o'clock hour. News coming up in a second, and I got a little sidetracked there into my world on September 25th, and I wanted to talk about the great Jim Henderson and his writing and Hokie. Those two were just a blast. I sat beside Jim Henderson for, I don't know, 15 years, and there's a reason he writes the way he does. He taught English prior to being a sportscaster, and it showed every day. He is a great person to work with and doing well up in Mississippi catching fish, hopefully having a little martini as we speak. Hokie, we're always thinking about you, my friend. The news is next. We'll be back after this here on WWLAMFM.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.